Well, with Syria's foreign minister saying that his country accepts the proposal to put its chemical weapons under international control, the diplomatic pace is quickening. When asked about it by NBC News yesterday, President Barack Obama recalled a line once uttered by President Ronald Reagan.
You know, I think a famous American president once said, trust but verify.
He went on to say that his preference is for a diplomatic resolution, but it's probably safe to say that no Western government completely trusts the Syrian regime. So if, and still a big if, such a plan proceeds, how would the international community verify that the Syrian government is living up to the agreement? Jim Walsh, expert in international security at MIT's Security Studies program, is with us. And Jim, let's start with the rapid developments today. How are you viewing this quickening pace of diplomacy?
Well, it makes sense that if this is going to happen, it's got to happen sooner rather than later. But it's still going to take time. They're going to have to negotiate it at the Security Council for a resolution. They're going to have to work out exactly what this means to implement it on the ground, exactly how they're going to do it. There was one Congressional Research Service report that suggested earlier this month, or at the end of August, that under an alternative scenario, it would take 75,000 U.S. troops to secure all the chemical weapons facilities, stockpiles, munitions. So this is a big, complex task.
So this is exactly why we brought you in here today to help us sort of unpack this big, complex task. Because when we emailed you this morning asking about it, you sent back a very quick 6 points about the hurdles regarding any plan to secure quote unquote chemical weapons in Syria. So let's go through those, starting with the idea that there's no baseline.
Yeah, so there are three big chores ahead for folks. One is to find them. The second is to secure them. The third is to destroy them. Those are each very different and each have their own challenges. So the first one is finding them. How do we, how do we know that we have everything that we want? There's no master list that the U.S. has of all the chemical weapons stockpiles. In fact, U.S. officials in the last couple of weeks have said that they don't know where everything is. You know, the Syrians might not know where everything is. So that's the first task is, are we going to be able to see paper records? Are going to be led to facilities? How exactly is that going to work?
And in addition, we've been seeing reports that the Syrian regime is moving, hiding, dispersing, or otherwise securing weapons and military facilities. Would that include their chemical weapons?
I think so. I think we have said that we would not hit the arsenal itself. We would go after facilities and chem units, not the actual poison gases themselves. But, you know, if you're sitting in Syria, you can't really be sure what the U.S. is going to do. And it would be a natural defensive reaction on the part of a potential target to begin to move those assets around.
Now, even if the Syrian regime does give up its chemical weapons, what about its ability to manufacture new ones? Does this plan or any viable proposal deal with that?
Well, it'll depend on whether we're able to decommission their manufacturing facilities, or whether they're going to claim, oh, these are civilian chemical plants for industrial purposes. But if we do that, I think you actually could, if you could manage to secure a big chunk of this, I think it would matter because they can't purely indigenously produce these. They have to import from other countries the precursors and other technology that will help them produce the more advanced ones. So I think you could set the program back. And I think it's worth keeping in mind that, you know, against what alternative? If we weren't going to hit the actual chemical stocks, which is the plan everyone thinks we have militarily, we're going to leave those alone. This plan, you could say, is a little better in that it's actually removing the chemical agent, if you can pull it off, and having inspectors on the ground might deter Assad from carrying out a second attack. So it's very difficult, but compared to the alternative, it might not be too bad.
Okay, but removed where?
Well,
out of Syria where?
Well, there are two things. First is securing them. Who is going to secure them? Is it going to be the OPCW? Are they going to have troops to protect them? Remember, this is a civil war.
They're OPCW?
In.
Sorry.
Yeah, I hate all this too. It's like, you know, IAEA. So that's the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons.
Gotcha.
But who's going to guard them? You know, I don't think they're going to let U.S. troops do it. Do we really trust Syrian troops to guard their own facilities of chemical weapons? So the whole securing is a very big deal. And then destroying it is, you know, the U.S. and Russia are, and now they had much bigger stockpiles, but they're still 13 years after the fact, 15 years after the fact, we're still working on our chem stockpiles left over from the Cold War.
So tell me a little bit more about the mechanisms that the Syrian regime uses or allegedly used to disperse the agents and whether or not such a plan could effectively go after basically the rocket arsenal?
Yeah, that's a great question. The thing about Kim, though, is that you can use a lot of different platforms. You can drop bombs from the air, so he's not going to let us destroy all his planes, right? You can use artillery launchers and lob shells. Well, those shells can also carry conventional munitions, plain old artillery shells rather than chemical munitions. He's not going to let us destroy all those. So I think the advantage of this plan is going after the chemical agent itself and any munitions that have already been constructed. The strength of the military strike plan is that it would go after those technologies that would disperse or deliver the chemical agent. So you're really going at it two different ways with those two different options. Mm.
Now, all of this would have to happen in the midst of what is now a protracted and violent civil war as well. I mean, how is that? That must be complicating the plan to no end.
Yeah, it would be tough even if it wasn't a civil war. But as we saw when the inspectors tried to visit the site when they had already been on the ground, there had been the attack. You know, they got shot at the first day, right? And they had to turn back and go around. And if we're talking about dozens and dozens of facilities. There's research facilities, manufacturing facilities, storage, munitions facilities. So we're talking about a lot of people who have to be protected. So I think the whole security component is a big one.
And what about on the side of the militias and any capabilities they might have?
You know, there are lots of rumors and reports that they may have acquired chemical weapons in the to and fro of the Civil War. You know, they take a piece of territory, they lose a piece of territory, back and forth, they may have gotten something. I think the consensus, which is not based on much, but the consensus view is that they may have some agent or they may have a munition. They really don't have the launch capability that the Syrian army does. That's why we think it was the Syrians who did it, not the rebels. So they may have some, but it's probably not very much. And then there's the challenge of how they would actually deploy it or use it.
Mm. Now, Jim, I know that you worry that this could be a Syrian delay tactic, as you put it, a giant cat and mouse game. But let's talk for a couple seconds about the domestic politics of this. The president has openly acknowledged in interviews yesterday that he's not sure if he had the votes in Congress to authorize a strike. Now, NBC News is among those reporting that Republican Senator John McCain and Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer are working on a new resolution that would see a role for the UN. So how do you think the president will fare in Congress with a diplomatic solution?
I think a lot of people are sighing a sigh of relief, and if this could work and be better than the alternative, it would solve a lot of problems for people, first among them the president.
Well, Jim Walsh, expert in international security at MIT's Security Studies Program, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.